is good to see each and every one of you here today. As a minister of the gospel for the last 36 years, I can tell you that there has rarely been a time that you haven't had to get up and had a twinge of a bit nervousness or edginess. Because if you take seriously this calling, you realize that you are responsible for declaring the counsel of God to God's people. And that is an awesome and sobering responsibility. And then there are those times when you especially feel the weight of the calling upon you when you are asked to deal with scriptures that most of us would like to skip over. But when the Lord led us to preach to you the Sermon on the Mount, that meant the whole sermon. And today, we want to deal with a subject matter out of the Sermon on the Mount that is critical to the day we live in, and yet makes us uncomfortable. I would like for everyone to join me in turning to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Matthew 5, 27 through verse 32. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you. It is better for you to lose one of the parts of the body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off, throw it from you. It's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Remember the context. The context is Jesus preaching his manifesto says to all of God's people who are going to be part of his church, you're a kingdom people, and I'm the king. And if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, here's what my citizens look like. Here's how they act. Here are the standards that I expect of my kingdom people. And he begins with those challenging beatitudes about blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the peacekeepers, blessed are those who are gentle, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the pure in heart. He talks about his disciples and being salt and light. He talks about our personal relationships last week. And he said, you know, murder is still wrong. But a murderous heart is just as wrong. And so now he takes it further. He moves from the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, to the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is usually referring to sexual relations between a married person and a person other than their own spouse. But as verse 28, I think, makes clear, and the overall context makes clear, Jesus isn't going to limit his discussion or his discussion about this commandment to just married people. But he's going to refer to sexual sin in general. It's interesting that the present tense of this word, when he says lust and he refers to lust, it's the word blepon in the Greek. And it's a present tense participle, refers to someone, put it this way, let me read it to you this way. I say to anyone who looks and looks and looks and looks and looks and looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery. It refers to one who casts more than just a glance. In fact, this word carries the weight of this. The word blepon is used in other places to refer to assess or measure or break into the parts or hold on to. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, if you look in that way, assessing, measuring, holding on to, gazing longingly, lustfully, you've committed adultery. Now, at this point, if all of us are honest, we're guilty. I'll never forget when Jimmy Carter, regardless of whether you believe he should have given the interview to Playboy or not, said something rather shocking. When he was asked, "Have you ever committed adultery?" his answer was unequivocally, "Yes." And of course, nobody totally understood what he was saying. But he knew exactly what he was saying based on Matthew chapter 5. He was guilty. And Jesus was driving home a point. Don't measure adultery simply by the act. Measure it according to the heart. Jesus is condemning lustful thoughts and actions and the actual desire to have that relation with someone other than your spouse. Adultery today among evangelicals is a scandal. It is a scandal because we have a higher per capita rate of divorce than the rest of the country. We also have a disease called pornography that is running rampant through our personal computers. And Jesus would simply call it what it is: adultery. The dramatic actions, though, he's already condemned most all of us. But then he says, if we're going to deal with this issue, we've got to take dramatic action to stop it. And thus, in verses 29 through 30, Jesus' illustration of this very decisive action. Eyes and hands are the primary offenders of lust and adultery, which many times leads to divorce. And he says, that's where the problem is. So to stop, you may have to take action against your own eyes and hands. If the truth be known, even though this is metaphorical hyperbole, even though he's not asking that we all go out now and take out our eyes and our hands, he is saying, you better do something radical to stop what you're doing. Because the moment you've done it, any one instance, you're an adulterer. Based on this kind of instruction, how many of us would have our eyes and our hands left if we did it literally? Jesus' words cut us to the heart. Remember, he's not trying to discourage you. He's not trying to shame you. He's trying to point out to you and I that our hearts are desperately wicked. And without the grace of God, we are all guilty before the judge. And he says to his kingdom people, I expect more of you. You've got to have a greater righteousness than those Pharisees that he spoke about last week. We need to remove ourselves from those instances and those moments that could lead us into scandal and cause us to sin. We need a Joseph complex. Do you know what I'm talking about? Remember when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife? What did he do? Ran. He ran. We've lost our running gear in today's society. Now, it's interesting, for those of you who like to be literalists, many of you women are saying, amen, preacher. Those men, if any man lusts after a woman, you get them, preacher. I'm going to step out on a limb here. And I'm going to assume that women are just as guilty as men. Nobody's going to join me. You say, well, why didn't he say men and women? Well, I guess because nature tells us that men are naturally hardwired to look at a pretty girl. But I do know that when my wife saw me when we were dating, she could not keep her eyes off me. Only learned later that I had something in my teeth. But anyway, the reality is that there's temptation out here. If sex didn't sell, why do they use it? Why is it that we find ourselves looking twice if it wasn't an issue? So the Lord here, I think, is also, you could look at it this way, our Lord is very liberating for women here. He, in essence, is saying to us on this hand, do not treat them like objects. But I would say he's saying to all of us, there's not a person anywhere, unless you just have some physical issues, that hasn't looked more than once. So that brings us to verses 31 through 32. And you can't take 31 and 32 without taking the verses we just talked about. Jesus said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say, and he's about to narrow it down, I say, everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. The point here is that sexual sin and lust is a precursor to and a destroyer of that covenant relationship called marriage. It is hard to restore trust and love and fidelity once infidelity has entered the picture. In this instance, our Lord requires such a more exacting standard of his followers. He's saying, kingdom people, please live the truth of God's faithfulness to us. How many of you would say to me, our God is faithful and never unfaithful to us? Is that not right? He is always faithful to us. He's always been chaste with us. He loves us and would never cheat on us. And so he says to his kingdom people, as representatives of my family and my kingdom, I want you to maintain the ideal. One man, one woman, one marriage, one relationship. Now, folks, for you who have gone through the pain of divorce and have had to establish another relationship, please understand. In the Old Testament, divorce was legislated and allowed. It was never banned. And as I pointed out to you, even Moses himself was divorced and remarried. He had a Midianite wife called Zipporah. He sent her away with his father-in-law, never to be heard from again, and he married an Ethiopian woman. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4 says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens she finds not favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her from his house. And then he goes on to explain that there shouldn't be any of this wife swapping stuff. Don't divorce her, send her away, and then take her back. But even Jesus acknowledges in Matthew 19, God allowed for divorce. But Jesus is saying, but I want you to be better than that. I want you to stay together. Do you realize that in the Old Testament times, in Jesus' day, the rabbinical writers and the Mishnah said, here's how you divorce your wife. Now, I'm glad that this doesn't exist today, especially in days of equality where the woman has equal rights to do the same. Here's how you divorce your wife. You find somebody in the church who will witness, and you will say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. They record it. And it's done. How many of you have ever been mad enough at the person you love? And he said, you've made it way too easy to break apart that which is supposed to represent God's covenant relationship. You've made it way too easy. And by the way, according to the Mishnah, gentlemen, a man could divorce his wife if he found her an unfavorable cook. My wife is a great cook, but that first biscuit was not. How? Yeah, she's not smiling. Jesus was dealing with a culture that said, you know, I just don't want to live with you anymore. But God's people have a higher standard to live by. And we are to represent that which is best about the kingdom and God's promises to us as God. A marriage should look like God's love for his people. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ love the church. It's interesting, in Matthew 19, 1 through 9, Jesus even brings up the word porneia, which is where we get pornography and the idea of fornication. Can anybody tell me what would happen if you found a person who had committed adultery? What happened to that person according to Jewish law? They were stoned. Did Jesus believe in stoning adulterers and adulteresses? No. I've got a wonderful story where a woman taken in adultery, caught in the very act. What did he say to her? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Aren't you glad, God's people, you live on this side of grace? And I also find it interesting that Jesus says, I want you to limit this divorce thing to adultery. What would be the use of getting a divorce if the next act is stoning? Are you getting the picture? He allowed for divorce. But he said the real cause of the breakup of that relationship is adultery. Now I take you back to the verses he began with. How many people are guilty of adultery? Whoever lusted after another. Based on those scriptures, what should happen to us all? We deserve the judgment. But we know grace. God's people ought to be, you ought to say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, He doesn't hold against me that time that my eyes wandered and my heart wandered. And therefore, He does not hold against any of us, even those who have been divorced. That word divorced there isn't a continual action, it's a one-time act. If you divorce your wife and she marries another, you've caused them to commit adultery, the one-time act. It's not a state of adultery. I don't know where people get that. It's not in the Greek. It's in the instructive moment. You've committed adultery. Folks, I'm trying to paint a picture as best I can for you. If you've been divorced and remarried, I'm sorry you went through that. But I just pray that now in this next relationship, you'll do everything you can to make that relationship what He wants it to be. And I would say to you, none of us can point our fingers in judgment on anyone, because when it comes right down to our Lord's assessment, we're all guilty. So, this has been a tough message for me. You look like you've gotten through it pretty good. It's been a tough message for me, but I'm going to leave you with this thought. There's power in the blood, and all of our sins are forgiven by our Lord, and we serve a God of new beginnings. None of us can say, I'm not guilty. But all of us can say, I failed, but He's forgiven me. Jesus allowed for divorce and remarriage, but He wanted to keep it down to that breaking of the covenant in an intimate way that is hard to restore. He certainly forbid the stoning or the judgment of adulterers, whether it be the person divorced and remarried or the person who's guilty of lust. He forbid judgment on them, but gave them grace. And He teaches us very clearly, as did Paul, that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. But I want to say to every young person in here, you're listening to me. Under our Lord's teachings, He does not encourage or desire divorce. He wants you to stay married for the rest of your life. to that one person. Why? Because that's the way that we best portray what it means to serve a God who loves us unconditionally and will never forsake us. And if nothing else, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And God's people say, stand to your feet, please. I think for our invitation today, Joe, I'm just going to let us play through. I'm not going to sing, okay? I'm sorry. I want you to bow your heads and your hearts, and I just want you to examine your lives. Each of you, male, female, have you been unfaithful in your heart to your mate lately? Know that there's forgiveness, but there's still that high standard. It's not the act. It's the heart that matters to our Lord, and He sees our hearts. I hope that at this moment you'll find forgiveness in Him. For you that have gone through the heartaches of the marriage and the divorce and you're married again, keep doing what you're doing. If it's going well, make it right. Do it right. And know that you too are forgiven. But it's not God's ideal for us. Just search your hearts. And try to leave here with one thing settled. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. And I want to be as faithful to God as He's faithful to me. And I want to be as faithful to my mate as God is faithful to me. And the people of God say, let us have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Christ, take your people this day. We all have our failures. You know our hearts and lies. Forgive us. But I pray, our Lord and our God, that as the world looks on your people, they will see us striving to guard our eyes and our thoughts. And they will help us to strive. Lord, they'll see in us striving to maintain our marriages and our lives in a way that honors you. Oh God, your commandments are tough, but your grace is sufficient. Blessings upon your people, grace and mercy upon them all as they go forth from this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.